From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Jokowi highlights hub, super hub ambitions for Indonesia's 8 airports. COVID-19, a test for multilateralism, Foreign Minister said. Now the news in details. 8 international airports in Indonesia can potentially become a hub and super hub for revolutionizing the country's tourism and aviation industry, according to President Joko Widodo. There are Ngurah Rai Airport Bali, Soekarno-Hatta Banten, Kuala Namu North Sumatra, Yogyakarta, Balikpapan East Kalimantan, Hasanuddin South Sulawesi, Samratulangi North Sulawesi, and Juanda East Java. President Jokowi stated during a limited meeting on the merger of state-owned companies in the aviation and tourism sector at the Merdeka Palace on Thursday as quoted by Antara. The government is gauging the possibility of merging state firms in aviation and tourism for ushering in improvements in the two sectors. Tourism and aviation are the two sectors that have borne the maximum brunt of the economic contraction in the second quarter of 2020. Only 482,000 tourists have visited Indonesia during the period, or an 81% drop from the recorded during the corresponding period in 2019 and 87% year-on-year. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has said the COVID-19 pandemic has been a test for multilateralism and has created challenges to cooperation among countries. Weakening trust in multilateralism is one of the global trends they observed in the post-COVID-19 world. It was said at an online seminar organized by the Jakarta Post newspaper on Thursday. She said she believed the increasing struggle faced by multilateral institutions in responding to increasingly complex global challenges, including the pandemic, must be acknowledged. At the same time, countries have gradually raised their expectation around the multilateral institution, providing concrete and immediate result for handling the novel coronavirus disease. The COVID-19 Handling Task Force conducts countries-wide risk mapping of the disease that has served as an official reference for the governments to design COVID-19 response policy, according to its spokesman, Wiku Adhisa Smito. Risk mapping is conducted by using 15 indicators pertaining to epidemiology, surveillance, and public health services. Adhisa Smito made the statement during a virtual press conference from the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Thursday in response to the controversy over Surabaya's claim to have improved its status to a COVID-19 green zone. The spokesman urged people to check the status of their respective region on the government's official website. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. The chemical that went up in flames in Beirut, deadliest peacetime explosions arrived in the Lebanese capital 7 years ago, and a leaky Russian lease cargo ship that, according to its captain, should never have stopped there. Boris Prokoshev, who was captain of the Rosyush in 2013, when he says the owner told him to make an unscheduled stop in Lebanon to pick up extra cargo. Prokoshev said the ship was carrying 2,750 tons of a highly combustible chemical from Georgia to Mozambique when the order came to divert to Beirut on its way through the Mediterranean. The crew were asked to load some heavy road equipment and take it to Jordan's port of Aqaba before resuming their journey into Africa, where the ammonium nitrate was to be delivered to an explosive manufacturer. But the ship was never to leave Beirut, having tried and failed to safely load the additional cargo before becoming embroiled in a lengthy legal dispute over port fees. Economic recovery around the world could come faster if any COVID-19 vaccine is made available to all as a public good, World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said on Thursday. He was speaking in an online panel discussion with members of the Aspen Security Forum in the United States, moderated by the NBC network. Tedros had said on Monday that while the coronavirus was the biggest health emergency since the early 20th century, the international race for a vaccine was also unprecedented. Thailand has delayed plans for a travel bubble agreement with select countries as a new daily COVID-19 cases rise in parts of Asia, putting pressures on its vital tourism industry and complicating efforts to revive its battered economy. Thailand first proposed the idea in June to allow movement between select countries that have low infection numbers without the need for travelers to undergo quarantine, but that have been stalled, officials said, amid second and third waves in East Asian countries that previously had their outbreaks under control. Foreign arrivals plunged 66% in the first 6 months of the year to 6.69 million. The industry has warned that 1.6 trillion baht, or $51.50 billion, of revenue could be wiped out this year. Bells have tolled in Hiroshima, Japan, to mark the 75th anniversary of the dropping of the world's first atomic bomb, but memorial events were scaled back this year because of the pandemic. On August 6, 1945, as a U.S. bomber dropped a uranium bomb above the city, killing around 140,000 people. 3 days later, a second nuclear weapon was dropped on Nagasaki. 2 weeks later, Japan surrendered, ending the World War II. Early on Thursday, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and the mayor of Hiroshima joined bomb survivors and descendants in the city Peace Park. The park is usually packed with thousands of people for the anniversary, but attendance was significantly reduced this year, with chairs spaced apart and most attendees wearing masks. At a moment's silence was held at 8:15 local time, the exact time of the bomb was dropped on the city. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling 75 years of Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombing. This week marks the 75th anniversary of the atomic bombings on the city of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan. The world's first nuclear attack ever, which took hundreds of thousands of lives, had resulted in many further casualties due to radiation. Referring to world history, on August 5, 1945, an Allied, or rather American aircraft, the B-29 Flying Superfortress, flew over the city of Hiroshima, Japan. The plane was carrying Little Boy, the nickname for a nuclear bomb capable of releasing an equivalent to 12,500 tons of TNT dynamite. Another bomb, codenamed Fat Man, was dropped on Nagasaki 3 days later, with roughly the same impact. Every year, a commemoration is held of the bombing in Hiroshima, which took a very devastating toll. Not only local people, but visitors from other parts of the world are also willing to come there to remember the most terrible tragedy in the world. They want to see how powerful the atomic bomb explosion was as well as pray for the victims who died. Now, Hiroshima Peace Memorial Park is a historical place, a tourist destination that is visited by many foreign tourist visitors. In a way, you can call it a blessing in disguise, especially for the Japanese tourism. In fact, the Hiroshima Peace Memorial Museum has been on the TripAdvisor list for the second year in a row as the most visited place. Hiroshima seems to be a message of peace to the world, a proof how the destruction of a city and the death of hundreds of thousands of innocent people because of the war. This place is also touted as a place of real learning on how nuclear can be very dangerous if used as a weapon of war, especially when it gets in the wrong hands. Even though it still brings a deep sorrow, Hiroshima is now a place where humans learn to appreciate the lives of others more. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuku Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to Today in History. We start from a history which occurred on August 7, 1933, was a massacre in Simele. On August 7, 1933, there was a massacre in Simele, Iraq, by the armed forces of the Kingdom of Iraq led by Bakr Sidki. They targeted the Assyrians in northern Iraq. This term is used to describe not only the massacre at Simele, but also the killings that took place among 63 Assyrian villages in Dohuk and Mosul districts, which resulted in the death of between 600 and 3,000 Assyrians. The Assyrians still haven't recovered from one of the darkest periods in their story. During the Assyrian genocide and after World War I, more than half of their population was massacred by Turkish nationalists and Kurds. Now we look at another history. On August 7, 1982, was the United States, Lebanon, and PLO signed agreement. The United States, Lebanon, and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, on August 7, 1982, signed an agreement that contained the withdrawal of PLO troops from Beirut, the capital of Lebanon. The agreement follows widespread attacks by the Zionist regime on Lebanon since July 1982, with the aim of driving PLO troops out of Lebanon. Although the Zionist army had very sophisticated military equipment, the PLO army managed to resist for 80 days. In the end, the PLO chairman, Yasser Arafat, was willing to pull his 12,000 troops out of Lebanon and then based in 8 other Arab countries. We end with a history. On August 7, 1998, was bombing attack to the U.S. Embassy in East Africa. The U.S. embassies in 2 East African cities were targeted by bomb attacks on August 7, 1998. One explosion occurred in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and another in Nairobi, Kenya, killing more than 200 people. The attacks were linked to local members of the Egyptian Islamic Jihad, bringing Osama bin Laden, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and their terrorist organization Al-Qaeda to the attention of the U.S. public for the first time, and caused the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, to place bin Laden in list of the most wanted fugitives. Fazul Abdullah Muhammad and Abdul Ahmed Abdullah are considered masterminds of the bombing. That was Today in History.
Well, listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia title, Trade Ministry is Optimistic Countries in the World Need Indonesian Food and Beverage Products. Indonesian Trade Ministry is optimistic to improve non-oil and gas export through processed food and beverage products to many countries in the world during COVID-19 pandemic. This is regarding that the world market has changed from fresh food products to processed foods that can be stored quite long time. Director General of National Export Development of Trade Ministry, Kasan, through his official statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that Indonesian food and beverage products is prospective products in supporting growth of trade sector. This can be seen from export values of Indonesian processed foods increased to 2.12% in January to May 2020 period, or amounting to $1.63 billion. Kasan explained, in 2019, Indonesian food and beverage products grew to reach 7.78%. This growth was greater than that of the non-oil and gas sector, amounted to 4.34%, while in the first quarter of 2020, the growth was 3.94%. For its contribution to the national gross domestic product GDP reached 19.98%. Kasan also said another thing that can be used to encourage the export of food and beverage products is the ever-changing consumer trend. This development provides an opportunity for Indonesian products to continue to diversify their products or downstreaming products such as for chocolate, spices, coffee and tea. Meanwhile, Director of Export Product Development, Olvi Andrianita, said, currently products that have certification, geographic indications and organic have an increasing trend in the global market. The demand for halal products is also increasing. Apart from the increasing number of Muslim population, the distribution also already exists throughout the world. In the new normal era, exporters need to pay attention to several requirements, especially food safety, including regulations on market access for export destinations with more stringent entry requirements for goods. Another challenge is the development of markets and products. That was My Indonesia.
Mataku ini silau melihat indah dunia. Aku campakkan cinta yang suci, menyesal diriku ini menyesal. Cinta,
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I would like to introduce you Pelita Cake from Muntok, West Bangka Regency. Muntok is the capital city of West Bangka Regency. Muntok has been registered as one of the heritage cities in Indonesia. Besides being known as a historical city, Muntok is also known as the city of thousand cakes. There are Pelita, Bluder, Gomak, Lemper, and Jongkong cakes. Today, we are going to introduce you one of the typical cakes of Muntok, namely Pelita cake. It's white colored cake, which is wrapped in pandan leaves. Some people call it a pelita daun cake, because if the banana leaf or pandan leaf is opened, then the bottom part of the cake will look like a wig of lamb. Other people call it sampan cake, because it looks like a boat. This pelita cake is made from coconut milk and sugar, as well as its container. Form like takir from pandan or banana leaves. To make the pelita cake, all the ingredients are processed become a dough. Then it is steamed in a container made of pandan or banana leaves. When it is eaten, the texture of this cake is so soft. It tastes sweet and savory. People of Muntok usually enjoy pelita cake in the morning and afternoon with a cup of tea or coffee. Pelita is sold with relatively cheap, only 1,500 rupiah to 2,500 rupiah per piece. The pelita cake was also the favorite cake of the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, when he, together with Muhammad Hatta, Haji Agus Salim, and Muhammad Rum, were exiled to Bangka Island, precisely in Muntok, West Bangka, in 1949. At the time, the upheaval of Indonesia's struggle after the independence was still happening amid the exile. This sweet-taste cake was the snack of Bung Karno every morning, or when drinking tea or coffee in the afternoon. President Sukarno, at that time, also brought the cake when he invited the local people of Muntok to trip to Tanjung Kalian Beach, Muntok, Bangka Belitung Province. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Pelita Cake from Muntok, West Bangka Regency. We will meet again in another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for the next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we will inform you about assisting in the management of COVID-19 patients. ITS students conferred the semi-hospital pioneership. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. To help overcome the COVID-19 pandemic in Indonesia, four students from the Department of Shipping Engineering at the November 10 Institute of Technology, ITS, who joined the Doa Ibu team, successfully innovated a transporter ship for medical services. This innovation was the highest achievement in the COVID-19 Innovative and Inspirational Application Competition by winning the first place in the Transportership Sub-Competition. The four students, Michael Wei, Haritz Azari, Novi Anggia, and Fadila Rafiansyah Anwar, initiated the idea of converting the semi-hospital pioneership. This innovation is a conversion design of the pioneering ship named KM Sabuk Nusantara 99. Michael revealed that the idea came from the lack of facilities to handle COVID-19 patients and the availability of several vessels functioning for hospitals. Based on these two things, the idea of converting pioneer ships equipped with medical facilities emerged. This ship conversion is to short the production of a large number of ships. According to Michael, not all parts of the ship were converted, so the ship still has the functions as passenger carriers and logistics. The conversion was only half of the main deck and crew deck. For the main deck, half of the passenger area with 236 cubic meters was converted. It is used as the patient rooms, medical waste treatment rooms, oxygen rooms, bathrooms for nurses and doctors, and other needs related to the handling of the COVID-19. While for the crew deck, the first class rooms were converted into embarkation access. Michael added that another innovation is the COVID-19 handling room partition, so other rooms and the pioneer ship were not contaminated. In addition, the application of negative room pressure, which is integrated with the high efficiency particulate air filter, is to ensure that other rooms are safe. Michael also said the excellence of this innovation is in the conversion of pioneering ship so that the ship construction time could be cut short and minimize cost, but it is still considering an effective, efficient, and ergonomic design based on several reference design from hospitals and also other treatment facilities on land or ships. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in our segment today, Music Corner, we are going to present you a regional song from Madura entitled Tanduk Majeng. Tanduk Majeng means enjoying catching fish. It is a regional song of Madura which tells about Madura's people's life as fishermen. Life as fishermen is very hard because they have to face the dangers at sea, risk their life on the wave and hard wind in a bid to support their family. Philosophically, the song is a meaningful allegory, which means that the Maduris, who are mostly fishermen, struggle to catch fish for their families, even though their lives are at stake. This song describes how happy the fisherman's family is after seeing a widescreen from a distance. The widescreen must be their family, who has been away for days and now comes home with fresh fish. Although there is no explanation who the composer of the song is, this song has become part of the reality of the fisherman's life in Madura. Well, listeners, here is the song Tanduk Majeng from Madura.
Sifatmu jatuh hati kepadaku, telah kutuliskan sejuta puisi, meyakinkanmu membalas cintaku. Haruskah ku mati karenamu, terkubur dalam kesedihan sepanjang waktu? Haruskah ku relakan hidupku hanya demi cinta yang mungkin bisa membunuhku? Hentikan denyut nadi jantungku, tanpa kau tahu betapa suci hatiku untuk memilikimu. Adakah keikhlasan dalam palung jiwamu mengetukku? Ajarkanmu bahasa hatimu tak lagi membeku. Haruskah ku mati karenamu, terkubur dalam kesedihan sepanjang waktu? Haruskah ku selalu menantimu hingga akhir masa. Haruskah ku mati karenamu, terkubur dalam kesedihan sepanjang waktu? Haruskah ku
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.